All right, take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. God, you can have fun at church, amen. Dr. Robertson was that way, but I'm not Dr. Robertson. There was only one, down the line, never vary. No. Point number one, go soul winning. Point number two, be in Sunday school. Three, thrive. Here we go. I can hear him. Oh, I can hear him. What's that? Everything rise and falls on leadership. That's it. Down the line, never vary. No. And, yep. All right, Romans chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Those of you that never got to hear Dr. Robertson, I'm sorry. What a neat man. Romans chapter 4. We're going to read the first 8 verses. Let's read responsively together. And seriously, I don't plan on preaching long tonight. I'm going to get a little wound up. Not mean, but just wound up, because I'm about ready to explode. I wanted to preach this one both services today, but I couldn't, and so I'm going to preach it tonight. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Let's read responsively. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you tonight. Holy Spirit, please clarify my thoughts, my words, and may they be clear so that we understand, so that the Word of God can do its work to us, through us. Lord, no intention on preaching at people. I want to preach for our folks and help folks. Help us to use this in a special way, in Jesus' name, amen. Man has since the first sin tried to be his own God. The thing that Satan tempted man with is, you can choose good and evil for yourself. You don't need God. By the way, I mentioned this in board meeting. The globalization factor that's going on in our world today, there are 4 or 5 major points to it being taught in our public school system, that we ought to be a global society. One of which means getting rid of all religion, and humanism becomes the religion of the world. That is what is being taught in our schools today. They want to get rid of God, and they use the term humanism should be the world religion. They want to break down borders so that there should be no countries. We all ought to be one world. Sounds like the precursor to the Antichrist to me.
Right.
Just so you know, they hate God. They want man to be his own God. That's what humanism is. You are your own God. You decide good and evil, right and wrong for yourself. Our sinful pride reaches even into what we call spiritual life. Man wants to be God and judges fellow man about how spiritual he is. Can I tell you something? There is not a human being in the face of the earth able to discern how spiritual someone is.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Period. Now, let God be God and quit trying to play God, even as a Christian.
Amen.
I'm going to make a statement here. Quit judging others and quit judging yourself. Why do we just not let God take care of things and we just obey what the Word of God says and not worry about it?
Amen.
Why is it that we want to judge everybody? Now, I really want to help us tonight. This is going to help you in your own personal life. This will help you as you become soul winners. This will help you with your friends, your church friends, your saved friends around the country. And this will help you with your family. But I ask you to listen all the way through tonight before you judge me. I get a little weary of people, and especially preachers, who want to tinker with diagnosing people's salvation. Let me explain. I get a little tired of preachers and people who say, well, did they really mean it? all those people getting saved at your church, how many of them really meant it?
Come on, preacher.
Well, did they repent? Did they turn from their sin? Were they sorrowful enough? We get into some of these battles, and I hear preachers and I hear people say that. Man, well, we haven't seen any fruit from them, so I wonder if they really got saved. Oh, I get so tired of that garbage, I want to vomit.
That's right.
I said it nice tonight, amen. Man wants to see a change. Man wants to see proof that somebody was truly saved. Who made you God?
Amen. Yes, sir.
We want to be the judge, and we all have to realize that God didn't make us the mechanic of the machinery. God didn't make you his diagnostician. You're the diagnostics mechanic. You don't have a little machine that somebody comes to you and you stick a little plug in them and they say, oh, this is what's wrong with you. This O2 sensor's bad and this fuel injector's bad. And you don't have that ability with people to do that.
Right.
Only God has that ability.
Yes, sir.
Our, you know, one car has no business judging another car on how it's running. Let me illustrate. Of course, y'all have seen my truck sitting in the parking lot. My old 2004 F-150 with 202 plus thousand miles sitting out there with a little V6 in it. It runs. I turn the key. It goes vroom. Then you see my dad's new Lincoln MKZ. His car runs. You turn the car and it goes vroom. His car rides a little differently than my truck. He's got all kinds of fancy doojiggers on his vehicle, but guess what? We both drove to Ohio last week. I did my grandmother's funeral. We both drove back. Guess what? Both vehicles made it. Just because mine has more mileage on it, a little bit different shape, I have no... He shouldn't judge my vehicle, nor should I judge his vehicle. They both made it. Now... Everybody doing all right? Judging my old rickety truck versus his new luxury car, what good does that do? We both made it to church tonight. We both make it to where we're going. Unless the battery dies in my truck. And I go to his house wondering if he's going to shoot me in the morning before I get the keys to his truck. Why do we want to compare? Now, listen to this illustration. And then I'll preach. Salvation is like an engine. Salvation is like a car type engine. And listen to this very carefully. A car engine has many different systems that work together to make that thing turn on. But watch this. For instance, you have the electrical, you have the fuel, you have the oxygen. You have the actual mechanical pistons and things. You have the cooling system, the hydraulics. You have the oil and lubrication. You have the exhaust and other things. All of those things come in that package called the engine. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Do you know what salvation is? You put the key in, which is the word of God and faith, and you turn the key on and the engine starts running.
Amen. Yes, sir.
God provided the engine. You're supposed to turn the key. You're supposed to start the engine. Good thing about the engine is once you start it, you can't turn it off. It's eternal.
Amen.
Once you get it turned on, you can't turn it off. It's kind of like that one I cranked that was a lawnmower one day. It came on and I couldn't get it off until I reached into that spark plug barehanded. I did get it off, but it took me off too. Now, wait a minute. Salvation involves many different systems. Let me show you what I mean. Salvation involves forgiveness, justification, repentance, sanctification, imputation, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the new birth, regeneration, reconciliation, atonement, redemption. All of those are the engine. You get saved by grace through faith.
Yes, sir.
End of discussion. You don't get saved by repentance.
Amen.
You don't get saved by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Those things take place when you turn the ignition on.
Yes, sir.
Those all happen simultaneously the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
The act of getting saved starts all of those other systems in motion at the same time so that the machinery runs together appropriately. Now, trusting Jesus by grace through faith is the ignition that starts the engine of salvation. May I say this? God's the one that designed the engine. He's the one that put it together, and he's the one that provides the engine. Not you.
Amen.
If you provide it, it works.
Right.
Now, watch this. It's our job just to turn it on. You have the right to either leave it not running, or you turn it on. It's that simple. And if you die and it's not running, you'll go to hell. If you turned it on, you're going to heaven. End of discussion.
Yes, sir.
Now, it's our decision either to turn it on or not. This is what soul winning is all about. Soul winning is going out inviting people to turn the engine on. That's all it is. Why is it we want to diagnose the internal processes and judge to see if the ignition really got turned on or not? Why is it that we want to look at the carburetor? That's an old term. The fuel injectors. And see if it's really running or not.
That's right.
We want to diagnose somebody's ignition or not their ignition system. We want to diagnose their oxygen system to see if there's enough oxygen and fuel mixture and make sure that it's running appropriately. That's not your job. That's God's job, not your job.
Amen.
God's job is to take care of the engine, keep it running. Our job is to turn it on. Our job is to encourage somebody else to turn it on, not try to be the diagnostician and decide whether or not it's running right. Did you know you can have all the carburetors in the world, but you can't start an engine just with a carburetor? Do you know you can have a factory full of batteries, but you can't start a car with just a battery? You know you can have barrels of oil, but you're not going to start a car just with a barrel of oil? Why is it then that people want to look at one part of salvation to judge whether somebody was saved or not?
Amen. Yes,
that's after it's running. The whole thing is turn it on, get the engine running.
Yes, sir.
We're not able to diagnose what God designed and assembled in the engine anyway because we're not God. Well, how sincere are they? I find nowhere in Scripture where it says you have to be sincere. Here's another one. Well, I did it as a child, but that was head knowledge. Now I got to have heart knowledge. I tell you something, your heart doesn't have any knowledge.
That's right.
For the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Bible says by faith Abraham believed and it was counted to him for righteousness.
Amen.
It didn't say anywhere that he was sorry about his sin.
Didn't
say anywhere that he turned from his sin and quit sinning.
Amen.
Didn't say anything about repentance. It said by faith. And it was imputed to him for righteousness.
Sure.
Now, listen to this very carefully before you hang me up to dry here. If someone turns on the ignition, the engine is running, and it's not our job to decide how well it's running. Sure. Too many Christians are diagnosing a running engine trying to tell us that it's not running. You go start my truck tonight. You go start Dad's car tonight. They're both running. You might not like the way mine sounds, but it's still running. Did you ever have one of those old rattle traps? Y'all know what I'm talking about, that car that you took to college. You know, I was one of the rare students at college. I had a car that ran most of the time. I can't tell you how many guys went to college and, you know, they get partway to work and their car's blowing up, steaming and falling apart, and things laying in the ground, and they got their thumb out. You know, where are you going? Oh, I'm going so I can take partway. All right, that's closer than it was. Man, I had a car that ran. It was great. Now, you're not God's diagnostic mechanic. No man is. I'm not. We then judge God's work in his process. Our job is not to judge it. Our job is to get people to start the engine.
Amen.
Yes, everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
You take the word of God, which is the key. You put the key in their hand and say, okay, insert it into the ignition and turn it on and watch what God can do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's what soul winning is. You take the key, which is the word of God, show them what God said and say, now turn it on. And when they turn it on, boom, and the engine all starts up, and look what God can do.
Amen.
But why do we have preachers say, well, they got to repent. They got to turn from their sin. If they don't turn from the sin, they really didn't mean it. Who made you God?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Well, they have to be so sincere. How sincere do you have to be?
Come on now.
Well, you can't make an emotional decision. You got to make sure it's done with your heart, not just your head. Well, I hate to tell you something. Your heart's the seat of all emotion.
Yes, sir.
Huh. We got a quandary then. Now, listen to me, and I think I can help you tonight. Number one, the only part of salvation based on man is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
My Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
He authored it and he finished it. Guess what? He designed it, he built it, and he's able to keep it running. All you have to do is turn it on.
Amen.
Jesus is the author and finisher. The act of trusting Jesus starts all of the other processes immediately. Let me illustrate. Brother Stoltz, I'm going to use you. Stand up here for a moment. Here's a dirty, wicked, filthy, rotten, vile scum of the earth sinner.
Amen.
Maybe I ought to get Brother Mike up here. Maybe we ought to get Joe up since he didn't get saved this morning. Now, watch this. Here's a guy, and I've presented the gospel to him. You realize you're a sinner, right? You realize that because you're a sinner, you deserve hell. Do you believe that Jesus Christ left heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, shed his blood at Calvary, died, resurrected, and paid for your sins for you? Would you be willing to trust that to take you to heaven? And the moment he trusts that to take him to heaven, guess what? Everything else is put into motion. That's like going whoom with the engine.
Amen.
Justification takes place. That means God, the moment you got saved, justified you, just like in your computer. Lines everything up. The word justify means to put in a line. Your trespasses are justified. Trespass means you crossed over that line. When you got saved, Jesus lined everything up so that you didn't cross the property line to get in trouble. You were sanctified, set apart to do something for God. You repented. You went from trusting yourself to get you to heaven to trusting Jesus Christ to get you to heaven.
Amen.
That's what repentance
yes,
is. You were imputed. God took Jesus' righteousness. He not only forgave you forgiveness, but he imputed Jesus' righteousness to your account so that when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, you've been justified, you've been sanctified, you've repented, you've been forgiven, you've had imputation, and the Holy Spirit indwells you. You didn't have to fall on the floor and flop around. You didn't have to start talking like a motorcycle getting wound up, and all that other stuff. You didn't have any of that. You were regenerated.
Amen.
God put the eternal genetics of God in you, and you were redeemed, you were born again, you have the eternal genetics of God, you could never die, your body will, but your spirit won't, and it'll live forever. And you have been reconciled with God. You now have direct access to him. You don't need the Pope, the priest, or Mother Mary.
I'm in good shape.
Now, wait a minute. All that took place. You're not in good shape. Round is a shape, but it's not necessarily good. All right? Now, wait a minute. All of those things took place because you trusted Jesus Christ
Amen.
As your Savior.
Amen.
And they all took place just like when you turn your car on.
Yes, sir.
You turn that car on, the electricity hits the spark plugs hit the oxygen and the fuel, and that starts moving things around, the lubrication starts, all of those take place, all simultaneously, just like the moment you get saved, all of those things started taking place.
And it's not your job to judge whether one's working or not.
Right. Yes, sir.
Jesus authored and finished it.
Amen.
Quit trying to diagnose it. Just trust it and go forward. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. Have a seat.
Whew, about to have a spell. Amen. So, the process is all part of what God has sitting ready in the engine. He's just waiting for you to turn it on. For by grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When you start judging whether he really meant it or not, you're judging works.
Yes, sir.
Whether you're judging whether he really turned from his sin or not, you're judging works.
Yes, sir.
Whether you judge if he was sorry enough, believe me, he's very sorry. but whether he was sorry enough for his sin, that's works.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Whether you judge whether he meant it with his head or his heart, that's works.
Amen.
Either you trust Jesus Christ or you reject him. Now, you're not going to understand everything about salvation the moment you do it. That's like saying you understand everything about marriage when you said, I do. Right. You thought you did, but you learned an awful lot over the years. I am not parking there a while. Salvation is not based on our works. Neither can it be judged by our works. Let me say that again. Salvation isn't based on your works. Neither can it be judged on your works.
Sir. Yes, sir, that's good.
You go through this book, you'll find every person in that book, after they got saved, did wrong things. King David, Solomon, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the rest of the apostles. They all forsook him at Calvary. I can go on. So, salvation is not based on works. Neither can you judge it by works. You know, God never looked at Peter and said, because you disobeyed me, you're lost and going to hell. And at one time, Peter had already been saved. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Say, why? Because Peter said, I'm not going to let you die at Calvary. He said, no, that's exactly what the devil wants. You better let me die. He didn't say that you lost your salvation. So, number one, I got to hurry here. The only part of salvation based on man is man trusting Jesus Christ. The rest of it, God has there waiting. Just turn the engine on. Number two, you don't start the engine with any internal process. You start it by turning the ignition on. You don't start the engine with just a fuel injector. You don't start the engine with just a battery. You don't start the engine with the hydraulics. Focusing on somebody's sincerity, focusing on repentance, does not start the engine of salvation. You turn the engine on by trusting Jesus.
Yes.
Can I tell you something? I don't care if you were 5 years old or 4 years old when you got saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven.
Yes.
Quit doubting it.
Amen.
Well, did I really, really know enough to mean it? If you knew enough to do it as a child, you knew enough to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you remember doing it and why you did it, yes, you understood it enough to get saved.
Amen.
Period. End of discussion. Well, I had somebody tell me. God didn't tell you. Don't care what somebody else told you.
Amen.
Well, I haven't really lived it like I should, so I wonder if I really... God didn't say that. Did you turn the engine on? Just like that day when I started that stupid lawnmower engine and I was told not to. That thing roared to life. I had started it and everybody within a half a block heard it. I couldn't do anything. It had already started. And I said, uh-oh. We got trouble in Houston. I thought I'd be smart. Saw my brother and my dad take a screwdriver and popped that plug wire off, but there was no screwdriver. I grabbed a hold of that plug wire. It grabbed back harder than I grabbed it. It knocked me down. I got the lawnmower engine off. And I ain't never touched another one in my life. I don't like taking spark plugs off the shelf at the store. Trust me. Mama didn't raise two fools, just my brother. You know, very few people understand all the internal processes of how an engine works exactly. There's probably only two or three people in this room that could really explain it and thoroughly understand it. I know my dad can. I know Brother Mike can. Brother Stoltz probably get pretty close. Brother June pretty close. Joe fairly close. Some of you other guys get parts of it, but not to the level that you really understand every part of the process and how they're all interrelated and working together simultaneously. Can I tell you something? You're never going to understand the intricateness of salvation because Jesus authored it. What are you tinkering with it for? Let's quit wasting time being good by judging internal processes and let's get people to turn the engine on. If these preachers get off their backside and quit judging everybody whether they really meant it or not and get out on soul winning, knock on doors and tell people how to get saved, maybe they'd see more people get saved. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. I was talking to a preacher in the last several weeks, and he said the wrong thing to me.
He said, well, this person made a public profession, but I'm not sure that they really got saved.
I said, so who made you God?
I thought he's going to swallow his teeth. I'm not sure if he had false ones or real ones. But either way, he was about to swallow him. He said, what do you mean? I said, who are you to judge?
I said, if they told you they got saved, they got saved. Well, I just haven't seen anything. I said, who made you God? Who are you to judge? I said, they don't get saved by works. Why are you going to judge them by their works?
Amen.
I said, if that's the case, the Apostle Peter died and went to hell. Look what he did at Calvary.
Yeah.
He was cussing, swearing, denying Jesus. Guess he died and went to hell, huh? It got really quiet. It really did. We changed the subject in a hurry. We didn't. He did. He didn't want to talk about it anymore. Can I tell you something? I wasn't being mean. I'm just sick and tired of people judging somebody else's salvation.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm for making sure they understand that they're saved. I don't believe in 1, 2, 3, repeat after me and you don't know what you did. Trust me. But you have to know you're a sinner. Because you're a sinner, you deserve hell. Jesus came and paid that sin debt for you. So all you got to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you got that down, you can get saved.
Yes, sir.
And you have to know you're a sinner to prove that you can't get to heaven on your own. That's called getting rid of repentance.
Yes, sir.
That's internal process. That takes place the moment you turn the key on.
Amen.
Salvation's just flipping that key on. And all those other processes start and keep that thing running the whole time.
Amen.
Quit worrying about whether all of the plugs are firing. That's God's job, not your job.
Yes.
Quit worrying about whether the fuel is rich enough or is too lean. That's God's job.
Yes.
He'll fix that with the Holy Spirit living inside you. He'll fix that with the preacher getting up and pounding the pulpit and beating it in your head. God will fix that part of it and adjust it as you start growing in the Lord. You just turn the key and let God take care of the rest. And don't worry about everybody else judging whether your engine's running right or not. Number three. Our job is to get people to turn on the ignition.
God says the moment you get saved, God imputes righteousness to your account. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning that he doesn't impute our unrighteousness. He imputes our righteousness. That means the moment you got saved, you are as righteous as Jesus Christ in God's eyes. By the way, past, present, and future.
Amen.
Why is it that Jesus Christ didn't come down and die at Calvary the same day he came down? Do you ever wonder? Because he had to live enough righteousness to impute to our life.
That's good.
Huh. He had to live the righteousness necessary for a man to have eternal salvation. He lived our righteousness for us. Now watch this. In the moment you get saved, you got all of his righteousness, Brother Rich. Every last bit of it. And no matter what you do, it's already forgiven because it's under the blood. That's called atonement.
Amen.
All of those things take place the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. That's why you can never lose your salvation, because you didn't do anything to get it. All you did is turn it on.
Amen.
Well, what if I commit the unpardonable sin? The unpardonable sin is rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior,
yes,
and not getting saved.
That's right.
That's all it is.
Yes, sir.
It is the only unforgivable sin because you've never asked for forgiveness in the first place. Well, it says blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Yes, rejecting salvation. The Holy Spirit convicting you to get saved and you don't get saved.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Well, how do I know I didn't commit it? Did you get saved? Yes, then you didn't commit it. And you can't.
Amen.
It's that simple. God imputes our righteousness when we turn the engine on. Getting saved doesn't make you perfect. You're still a sinner. But it does, in God's eyes, take care of your entire sin debt.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, you're still going to face the consequences of sowing and reaping. And Lord knows, you got a lot of reaping to do, brother. Our job is to get the gospel out, invite people to turn the eternal engine of salvation on, and not judge them whether they really meant it or not.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Brother Barnes and I won a man to Christ yesterday. Came to church today. You know what he told me? He said, I've only had 2 cigarettes since yesterday. Here's a guy that had to go to the ER because of an infection from injecting drugs in his body.
You know what he said? He said, you know why I haven't been smoking? He said, they don't taste like they used to.
That's good.
I said, that's because you got somebody inside you telling you not to do it.
Amen.
He said, I don't know, but it doesn't do what it did before.
That's right.
I said, you're trying to do it yourself before. Now you got God inside.
Amen.
And God doesn't like that poison. He said, must not, because it doesn't taste like it used to.
That's right. Amen.
I never one time said anything about it smoking. Mm. Not one time. Never mentioned it. I just said, greater is he that's in you now than he that's in the world. I said, now you got somebody inside to help you. And I said, now he's going to make it distasteful. Guess what? It's now becoming distasteful. Glory to God. You say, well, did he really mean it? Did he repent? Did he make Jesus Lord of everything in his life? Nincompoops. You can drive a car without understanding all the internal systems. Ladies, you do it all the time. You don't have to understand it all. You know, turn the key on, put that thing in D or R, depending on which direction you're going. Point that thing and tromp the long pedal. And then when you got to stop, push the other one. You don't have to understand how the carburation works. You don't have to understand the hydraulic system. You don't have to understand the exhaust system. You just know when the light comes on and everything quits that something's wrong with the car. Just like you don't have to understand all the internal components of salvation, you just got to turn it on to get saved.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Man wants to intellectually be God. We want to think we have an understanding and have to understand it all before somebody can get saved. I've heard Baptist preachers say a kid can't get saved till they're 12 years old because that's when Jesus was in the temple, so no child can get saved or baptized before they're 12 years old. That guy's got, he's hatched eggs big enough to hatch twin dinosaurs with.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's as wrong as it gets.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
I've heard preachers say that. That's wicked as the devil.
Amen.
Wonder how many boys and girls are going to die and go to hell because of that trash. Now, I'm for them understanding. Little Logan, he's getting close. Joe and Ashley, just a week or so ago, they asked if my wife would talk to him because they want to make sure he understands it. And he's just not quite there, but he's really getting close. He's asking questions. I want to make sure they understand the components of it. Not just because they become a parent and you can tell them, look, you do this because, okay, because you can get a child to do anything. You want them to understand what the gospel is. But my little buddy Wyatt over here doesn't understand justification, sanctification, redemption, atonement, or any of those other big words. He can't even say them, let alone understand them. But bless God, he knows he got saved and trusted Jesus as a Savior. Amen. Then he got baptized. Or baptized, that was it, baptized. I love it. Can I tell you something? You don't have to understand how the whole thing works. You just got to trust Jesus and turn it on. You'll get the understanding later as you need it. Man wants to be this intellectual giant. You have to understand all this so that God can accept you. Anybody who starts talking about God usually doesn't know him.
Yes, sir, that's right.
These guys that get up, oh, thou God of Jeroboam and thou most righteous heavenly Father. You know, those guys make me want to vomit.
Amen.
I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. Little sissy britches that got up that was pastoring the church where my grandma went, and I kind of shared the funeral with him to be nice. He got up and did one of those prayers that he read out of a book somewhere. I'd rather have somebody take their fingernails and go down the chalkboard than do that. He didn't know what happened when I hit the pulpit. Trust me. He's sitting off to the side going like this. The whole time. It was a good thing he was behind the little curtain thing because nobody could see his face but me. But I sure was having fun. I'd look over there just to get wound up a little bit more. Trust Christ. Just like you trust your car when you go to turn it on, that it's going to start. You pop the key in there if you have one with a key, or if it's fancy like my dad, you just got to have the key in your pocket. And you push a little button. But you put the key in and you turn the ignition on. And the moment it starts, guess what? You can't turn it off. Because Jesus authored it. He finished it. He just wants you to start the engine. He'll take care of all the internal components. Quit judging each other by the internal components. Well, I've got bigger pistons than you've got. So? I got more pistons than you got. So? I've got a bigger crankshaft than you have. Mine'll compress that fuel and that oxygen mixture. I get more horsepower out of mine. So? If it gets you from point A to point B, guess what? It's running. Who cares?
Amen.
Who cares? Well, mine sounds better than yours. I got dual thrust exhaust on mine. So? It's about the extent of all my knowledge right now. Now, wait a minute. If it were an older car, oh, I got a Holley 4 banger on it. Instead of a little 2-barrel. Or a single barrel. Yeah, I'm going back to when I know cars. Yeah. Now, can I tell you something? It doesn't matter. Salvation, you just turn it on. You let God take care of all the judging of the internal process. He'll fix it himself.
Amen.
He'll work on you. You'll grow with it. He'll fine-tune that thing. I cannot do this. And I don't even think he can do it with cars anymore. But they used to have something called a timing light. Remember those, Dad? And you had to move the distributor, and you had to loosen that thing up, and you had a little light that would strobe, and it would read. You could read the numbers, and you had to adjust that thing till it was timed just right.
Yeah.
Guess what? God will take care of timing that engine. You just turn it on. It's nobody else's business to judge whether your engine is timed right or not. Let's quit judging everybody. Let's get everybody to turn the engine on.
Amen.
Because that's what it's all about. Notice in Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, Abraham was saved by faith, not by works, not by the works of the law. The works of the law doesn't impute righteousness. Grace imputes the righteousness of God to your account. It's not by what he did. It's by the fact that he turned the engine on.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It uses the word redemption. It uses the word justify. It uses the word grace. It uses the word impute righteousness. Wow, all those are internal systems. You say, how'd he get it? By faith.
Amen.
By faith. By grace are you saved through faith. Huh. Doesn't say anything about making him Lord. Doesn't say anything about repenting. Say why? Because those all come with by faith.
Yes, sir.
By faith.
Amen.
That will help you understand your salvation just a little bit. Every head bowed, every eye closed.